From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we start with a live look at Chicago Draft Town 2016, the second straight year the draft will be held in the Windy City. And here in Jacksonville, inside Everbank Field, pouring concrete. The new club areas, south end zone tunnel still taking shape as well. And then, of course, inside the draft room, starting to build again. Continue building the roster of the draft coming up. Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley and company in final preparations for tomorrow night. Welcome into Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with you. Plenty to get to today on our pre-draft special edition today, right before the first round of the NFL draft. We'll preview the NFL draft tomorrow night. Brian Sexton is in Chicago. We'll go live to the Windy City and catch up with Brian on the latest happening in Chicago. And we'll preview our draft coverage. We'll hear from a number of special guests today as well. We welcome in senior writer John Osier. Happy
draft.
Like
what you did there at the top. You did the build, you did the team building, the construction. You're a pro.
When you work with words.
Yeah. Words are your work.
That's the way it works. So, hey, it's finally here, right? Tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's here upon us, and you're to the point where you really can't talk about anything else. And you're to the point where you've over-talked it. These guys down the hall, when I say hall, I'm pointing to the draft room. They're at the point where it's time to stop worrying about the board. Put a blanket over it. Put a sheet over it. Don't overthink it. Don't move guys around. Trust the work you've done. You've scouted these guys for a reason. You know what you're doing. So you'll go out, watch a little binge TV tonight, maybe, for Dave Caldwell.
It might be. Get it out of your mind for a minute.
Netflix.
And then come in fresh tomorrow tomorrow night's first round. Let's go to Chicago and catch up with senior correspondent Brian Sexton. He's on the ground in the Windy City. It's already been a busy day, Brian.
Here at the NFL's Play 60 event, which has become an annual opportunity for the league to get those new prospects, to get them out on the field with these kids. And but I tell you what, everybody's kind of walking around here shivering. I talked to a writer from the Philadelphia News who talked about, boy, they should have a fire out here for us. It's so cold. But you know what? The players didn't care. And we had our eyes turned on Joey Bosa, who sported a brand new haircut. You know, there's some talk that teams have dinged him off the field. He was making sure that he looked professional. Miles Jack, obviously, has been the story so far. Everyone talking about the knee. What's the story with the knee? Even though no one knows, everyone has an opinion, including a guy I caught up with from Sirius NFL Radio. You probably hear Pat Kerwin, the former general manager of the New York Jets. I caught up with him earlier today to get his thoughts on this draft and where the Jaguars sit at number 5. So, Pat, 2016, the Jaguars seem like they're closer if they can fix their defense. From your perspective, are they closer to being a team that can be 8-8 or contend for a wild card this year?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, they know who their quarterback is, so that's issue one. And when you're at the top of the draft and you know who your quarterback is, you have a couple of options that teams that aren't in that situation don't have. So you could move down, you could move up, you could advance yourself for a key player. And I think since the two quarterbacks are going 1 and 2, a lot of great players are going to fall right into your lap. So it's a matter of which one you want. I have my own thoughts on who it should be, though.
Well, and of course, I'm going to ask you. You know, they get Dante Fowler back, and they're very hopeful for what last year's first-round pick can be. But there's players at every level. Up front, there's big guys. There's a linebacker. There's guys in the secondary. Where can the Jaguars get the most bang for their buck at number 5?
I wouldn't take any risks. So that would eliminate Miles Jack for me, even though I think he can play and he'll play for a number of years. And I've talked to a number of doctors who feel he'll be fine for 4 or 5 years. So I wouldn't take that risk, though. And I wouldn't take a small player. I think there are some unusually good big players, and you can never substitute that. I'll tell you the biggest mistake I made. In 96, we had the first pick in the draft. We took Keyshawn Johnson, who was a good player, very good player, but we passed on Jonathan Ogden. And when I went to the Hall of Fame to his induction, I just stood there and said, point well taken. Yeah. So I like the two tackles, and I like the big defensive lineman.
Now, from the offensive tackle perspective, if that's the highest-rated guy on the board, with Jokel being a question mark and with Kelvin Beachum's knee, do you think it's reasonable for the Jaguars, with all their defensive needs, to take an offensive tackle?
Yeah, you got to protect the quarterback for the next 10 years, number one. Number two, the Jokel situation. You know, you can always find a place for a good player. How many times do you get a great player? And I think Tunsil and I think Stanley fit the bill. I know the guy who trained Stanley all offseason, Bob Wiley, coaching the NFL for 25 years. He thinks the guy has a chance to be an elite player for a long time. So one of the two tackles, move Jokel around, figure out if Jokel can stay here. Kelvin Beecham's a short guy. Put him at guard. You're never going to go wrong with that many pass blockers for your quarterback, and you do like to throw the ball.
Pat, final thought. If you're Dave Caldwell sitting at number five, who do you want?
Well, you know, three is an interesting spot. It's going to dictate a little bit of your future. Are they going to trade out? Someone wants to jump into that spot. I think that's going to, they're going to get calls for that, whether they say they are or not. Every time they say they're not getting a call, I know they're getting a lot of them. I think that you already know that there are three big players. We just talked about the three of them. You'll get one of them. That's the guy I take.
So the questions about Miles Jack Nee continues. Talk to some folks around. Again, everyone has an opinion. No one has any knowledge. But the building consensus is the Jaguars are a team that's going to go for one of those big guys. We'll find out whether that's Joey Bosa or DeForest Buckner tomorrow night. Guys, we'll send it back. Much more coverage from here in Chicago. Look for Inside the Jaguars later today.
All right, Brian. Thanks a lot. Brian Sexton from Chicago getting ready for the NFL draft. The draft party here at Everbank Field tomorrow night, 5 to 10. Get your tickets, jaguars.com/draft show. Register for free tickets and should be a fun time. Watch the draft on the world's largest video boards, the live radio and television shows up there as well. JP Shadrick, John Osier. Interesting thoughts from Pat Kerwin there. Big guys, unusually good big guys in this draft, he said.
Well, it's interesting to hear Pat talk about that because he's clearly a guy who, from experience, passed on a skill-type guy in 96 he talked about, or took a skill-type guy, and I did not take Jonathan Ogden. History shows that to be a mistake. Certainly a school of thought that says if you like a guy closer to the ball, meaning a big guy that are more rare, and you love that guy, it's hard to go wrong taking him over the smaller guy who plays off the ball. There's an element of David Caldwell who believes that, He's much more of a pass rusher guy than he is a corner guy, for example, and believes you have to build up front. I still think these Ramsey Jack type guy are very much in play, but it's easy to be swayed by that school of thought.
A lot of talk about Tunsil there, Laramie Tunsil, yep, from Ole Miss, the left tackle. But Jags fans are going to say, but, you got Luke Jokel in his fourth year. He just got Beecham coming off a knee injury with the Pittsburgh Steelers in free agency, and he has the chance for a longer deal if things go well after this year. So they're set at left tackle, right?
Yeah, this is sort of where you find out if Dave Caldwell is a purist, so to speak. I mean, because if he's a purist, then it's really easy to take a Laramie Tunsil, because everything, if you cut out the noise, if you cut out the need, the immediate depth chart type stuff, boy, it's easy to take a guy like Tunsil, because Tunsil, Buckner, those guys who the fans don't think are immediate depth chart needs, they are generally perceived as being the best, safest, long-term foundation type players. If he goes those routes, then that's what he believes, and he's putting his money where his mouth is on that front. If he doesn't, then he believes he's sort of set there, and he needs the impact, which is what you would take a Ramsey or a Jack, something like that. So it'll be an interesting thing to look at philosophically when you're studying how Dave Caldwell drafts what he does tomorrow night.
You mentioned Miles Jack. What do you make of all the knee business that has come out this week?
You know, Brian said everybody has an opinion, very little knowledge. I built a career off that. I mean, it's every day for me, right?
That's like first line on your resume.
Yeah, I mean, but that's really what you're dealing with Miles Jack right now. And I said it before, and I'll say it again. If you trust the knee, then draft the guy. You're fine. If your doctors are telling you not, then you got to take him off your board. You can't trade back to go get Miles Jack. If you like him at five, then you like him at five. Trading back to 9 or 11 to try to think he's going to be there or whatever, it's all the doctor, what he says. Do you believe that that's how you have to go? And if I think you do. I think that's why you have a doctor examining him. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's a very frustrating thing. We can talk and talk and talk and talk. It all depends on what that doctor's telling him, and he ain't going to tell us that.
Right.
So I'm going under the assumption that the knee's fine for all these little draft previews and all this stuff, but who knows?
Yeah, and the process, of course, Gus Bradley told us at the luncheon the other day, he doesn't have much to do with the medical side of things. That's a Dave Caldwell and a doctor discussion. Gus will say, hey, I like the guy as a player, the coaches right. like him, this and that. But they let Dave make that decision, and that's kind of how it works. So all of that going on in the room beside us, right behind this wall at Everbank Field, is the draft room, and that's where everything gets done for tomorrow night. We all see the end result.
The Jacksonville Jaguars select Dante Fowler, Jr.
But before the commissioner makes the announcement, there is 10 minutes of tension as the Jaguars general manager decides on a selection that will shape the future of the organization.
How much time we got?
That decision happens in a secured room at Everbank Field, named the Draft Room. But what happens in the room when the team is on the clock? And how different is it from other draft rooms around the league? The Jaguars are John Idzik's fifth team in the NFL. He's the special assistant to the GM, and as a former GM of the New York Jets, he understands the tension inside the room.
So there's some anxiousness, in the building, but I think by way of the preparation that goes into the draft, those close to the process have a real good feel of how we're thinking, what we're doing, and just hope it falls right for you.
Is Dante Fowler there?
I would say that 5 P's, proper preparation prevents poor performance. So the better prepared you are, the less opportunity for you to make mistakes.
Even though he's been with the Jags his entire NFL career, Andy Dingler has seen many changes in approach in the draft room.
Dave and Gus work, really well together. I think they've taken a lot of input from other people, and all we're trying to do is narrow it down for them to, select the player that's going to help our organization.
On draft night, it turns into a nerve center for the Jaguars organization. That starts weeks in advance with a schematic of seating locations of executives and scouts and computer, phone, and television needs.
When it comes down to the time, you want to provide a calm and collected decision-making environment for Dave and company.
There you have it, a look inside the war room. And the Jaguars, John, have a couple of guys on staff over there that have been at the top of draft rooms before. You heard from John Idzik, I think. Those are some of his first public comments since joining the Jaguars, and Chris Polian as well. Mm-hmm. So you have some different perspectives, guys who've been in a lot of different draft rooms. At the end of the day, though, it all comes down to Dave Caldwell and the comfortability in that room and making a decision quickly.
Well, and any of them will tell you, there's sort of this perception of the war room as being chaos, as a bunch of guys on the phone making calls and they're pounding cell phones. Ideally, it's not. Ideally, it's very calm, and you're watching the board come off, and there's a phone call, and Dave Caldwell may take the phone call. But it's not a situation where when they're on the clock at 5, you want to have Gus and Dave on top of the table, shirtless, scrapping it out over the pick. It's a situation where they know what's going on. It's calm, and all through the draft, there's discussions, but it should be a lot of this. It should be a lot of, yes, I thought it was going to fall. All right, we said we're going to do this. All right, let's go. Let's make the call.
Yeah.
It should be that sort of environment rather than maybe what the movies and television would have you believe about war room arguments and slamming doors. And that's not what they're aiming for.
We've all seen the movie Draft Day where the Jacksonville GM is pacing up and down, sweating it out before.
Yeah, if you're doing that, you're doing something wrong.
That's right. Steve Mariucci is in Chicago as well, part of NFL Network coverage. Brian Sexton caught up with him earlier today, and he's got some inside thoughts about this draft. Certainly he's been in a draft room before, but Steve Mariucci earlier today with Brian Sexton.
Coach, the Jaguars have so many needs on defense. Is it just an obvious that at number 5, that's where they go?
Well, it's not 100% sure of anything on draft week. There's a lot of smoke screens going on. But if I'm Gus Bradley, I'm feeling pretty good about my offense. Blake Bortles and the Allen brothers, Robinson and Hearns. I mean, they got a good offense. And so, I think Gus is going to want to build up that defense. He came from Seattle where they play defense. And, whether Joey Bosa or DeForest Buckner or Ramsey, one of those good defensive players is there at 5, I think he's going to grab them. There's a need over there. That's where you're going to win more games over there with some defensive help, I think.
They made so much progress on the offensive side of the ball. Can you do that on defense in 1 year, too, getting Fowler back and getting a rookie?
Well, that's another thing. It's like they have two number one draft choices because Dante Fowler was, what, third last year and a heck of a player. And, you know, hopefully he'll stay healthy, get healthy, be healthy. And then if you can add another defensive guy to that front seven, you're adding two real important pieces to that puzzle. I think they can make some huge strides, you bet.
Malik Jackson comes over, high-dollar free agent. If you're the head coach, how do you use a guy like that right out of the gate? I mean, is he just on the field in every situation, or do you think they have a plan for him?
Well, defensive linemen, you know, rotate, right? They don't play 100% of the snaps like the offensive linemen do, and so they'll rotate him. He's a heck of a player. He's been very successful. Paid him a lot of money. They got to use him. So, maybe he has 70% participation, but he's going to figure in a very important role in that defense. And that's another piece of this puzzle where Gus says, I'm building this defense.
Is this as much fun from this side of the camera as it was when you were sitting in a war room?
It depends. If you're winning or losing, it makes everything a little bit different. But when you're in a war room and you've got 14 needs and you're trying to build up your team, sometimes it doesn't happen fast enough for you. But there's nothing like being an NFL head coach. It's a thrill. It's a privilege. It's an honor. And, you're dealing with great guys. So it's a little different. This is my 11th year in television, if you can believe that. It's the longest I've ever held a job.
11th year in TV for Coach Steve Mariucci. A little different vibe these days for the former head coach. Draft night game on Jaguars Arcade. Pick 'em five. Guess the first five picks of the draft, and you'll win a chance to meet the first round pick. Register at jaguarsarcade.com/draft-pick. JP Shadrick, John Osier, Steve Mariucci's thoughts there. As a former head coach in a room with a lot of needs over time, you know, you have a lot of balls in the air. If you have, you know, like he said at the end there, 14 needs, it doesn't go fast enough for a head coach sometimes.
Well, and that's been the issue for the first 3 or 4 years is so many needs, trying to build it right through the draft. It's taken time to get to a point where they are where they are now, which is that when you look at this roster, one of the reasons it's hard for people to figure out Jack, Ramsey, Bosa, Buckner, is because there's not really a crying frontline depth chart need in any of those spots. They can go line up. So Dave really can pick the guy that he thinks is the longest term. That's not to say this guy can't come in and help, but it's not a crying need. It's like you have a hole where there is no Dante Fowler on the edge and say, if we don't draft Joey Bosa, we cannot line up and we're deficient at this area. So it makes it a tougher draft to predict on that front. And this is from a guy who's been wrong 2 out of 3 years. So it's, you imagine how tough it is.
It's pretty tough.
And wrong a lot.
I wasn't going to say anything. Wasn't going to say anything. You said it yourself.
No, that's fine.
All right, plenty of coverage coming up tomorrow night. Radio from 6 to 10 on 1010XL. Jaguars television coverage starts at 7 o'clock on Channel 4. And then we'll be live here on Jaguars.com after every pick throughout the entire weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. All the coverage of the first-round picks arrival in Jacksonville Friday as well as on Jaguars.com. All of this is done now, John. What are they going to do at 5?
Well,
Final thought.
Can I couch it and say either Bosa Buckner or Jack? No, I can't. I think Ramsey's going to be gone. I think he's going either to Dallas or San Diego. So I just can't see him really going offense. I know they can talk about it, but that urge to improve defensively and I keep going back to the phrase where they talked about we've built the offense and now we've got to build the defense up. That's sort of the feeling. So I picked Jack on the website. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep picking Jack, but I'm not going to be surprised if I'm talking to DeForest Buckner on Friday morning.
You don't think, huh?
So, but I'm going to go Jack.
So you're going Jack, but you think Buckner.
No, but Buckner would surprise me less than it would surprise a lot of people. But for the record, I'm going to pick Jack.
Should be fun tomorrow night. We'll look forward to it, John.
Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
Well done, John. John Osier, our thanks to Brian Sexton and the crew in Chicago and our crew here in Jacksonville as well. Thanks to you for watching today. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick, and this is Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank.